Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Paul Dottino P-Dot Report is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And by Bud Light. When game day is a go, there's a Bud Light there. And by Geico, saving you money on car insurance has been in Geico's playbook for over 75 years. So what are you waiting for? Get a quote at geico.com. P-Dot, how you been?
Good Paul. Afternoon, fellas. Doing well. How are you?
Doing all right, Paul. So your overall assessment of the Giants from Monday night?
Well, I think you had me on last week, and I told you that the Giants were going up against a team which I think will represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. And if you got my drift, as we had that conversation, I thought that the Steelers should be very heavily favored, and I was very confident in that prediction. So in that regard, I thought the Giants actually fared kind of like par for the course, if you want to use a golfing term. They certainly did not get the running game going at all, and that was very poor and very unexpected. Other than that, I thought in all the other phases of the game, the Giants actually performed at a somewhat adequate level against, again, a heavyweight champion, as far as I'm concerned. Thank goodness they don't have to play the Steelers 16 times this year. They'll now be facing a middleweight, which is what the Giants are when they go to Chicago on Sunday. And I think you will see a lot more about what the Giants intend to be in this particular game. I expect them to win on Sunday.
Yeah, I thought Daniel Jones, for the most part, obviously the mistake is what's going to jump out at everybody, the interception on that ridiculous 19-play drive. But he faced a lot of pressure in this game. I thought overall played a pretty solid game. Give me your assessment on the quarterback.
Liked very much what he did. You saw that when he did face pressure or when he did have to run out of the pocket and took off on a couple of plays, did you see how he was gripping the ball?
Yeah, very it differently than last year.
It was noticeable.
Yes, yes.
And that, to me, is a great sign because there's a young guy who had a problem, and it was very, very obvious that he was intent on fixing it. So I thought that was a huge plus. I thought the touchdown pass in the first quarter to Slayton couldn't have thrown it any better. And that's the kind of throws that we've seen from him over the course of the summer. So, yes, I think that Daniel Jones played a very good game. Not excellent, obviously, because T.J. Watt made a great play on the interception. And then, obviously, on the play down near the goal line, Jones has to know better than that. Experience is going to teach him, eat the ball, run out of bounds, throw it into the third row, whatever you do. Do not attempt to throw it into an area where there are five defenders and only one of your guy. Now, I get the fact that, you know, his arm may have been tipped at the end of the release. But you know what, fellas? I'm not so sure that that pass was going to turn out well for him anyway, even if he got it off.
Yeah. You know what jumped out at me watching the game on Monday night? And I don't know how you feel about this. And it's only Joe Judge's first game. But I thought the coaching was dramatically better. I mean, I understand you lost the game and all of that, but the defense was very active. I thought the game plan, the play calling by Jason Garrett, I thought was very good. You know, I watched that game and I said, boy, the Giants are going to be a much better coached team this year. I know it's only one game. Did you feel that way watching this, Paul?
I tend to agree with you, Joe. I was very much in favor of the game plan. Now, the execution was not there, obviously. You guys know me. I'm an old school football guy, which means I love the two tight end set, and I even love the three tight end set. We knew that Garrett was going to bring that stuff over from Dallas. He did, just as I expected. They ran a two or three tight end set on 50% of their plays the other night. And in fact, okay, they ran a three tight end set itself on a third of their plays. And that really tells you that they want to play smash mouth power football. The problem is they were going up against a heavyweight champion like the Pittsburgh Steelers,
right,
who
right.
were a mismatch for them, and quite honestly, may have the best front seven in the National Football
yes.
League.
Yeah, I probably the best defense in the league. I mean, it's only game one, but you could make that case.
And it's not just their talent, Joe. It's what they do with it. Their
right,
zone
right.
blitz scheme is among the most difficult things to face in the league. So you combine that with their ability, they're a nightmare to play. They really are. I had a fan call me up on a show earlier today and say to me, oh, Paul, I don't think that was the worst opponent the Giants could have faced. I thought it was the best because they now have an idea of where they have to get to. And I said, okay, that's very true. But quite frankly, if you wanted to win your opening game, this would have been the last opponent
right.
I would have wanted to face.
Right.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, I mean, that's what it's about. And I think what was frustrating about this game is that even though the Steelers are clearly a better team, and you said it beforehand, I think we all knew it going in, is that there were opportunities. You know, when Deontay Johnson muffs the punt and you're set up at the Pittsburgh Steelers 3-yard line,
right,
you have a chance to get seven, especially on that third and goal play, which I thought was a brilliantly drawn up play. And
sure,
you know, Evan Engram and Daniel Jones had their issues. And so, and then even after the Jones, interception, which is a mistake, a failed opportunity, they came very close to turning the football back over when Bradberry forced it on Benny Snell. So it was like, I'm not saying they would have won the game if plays would have went their way, but there were opportunities left on the table Monday night, Paul.
Well,
you know?
I think what you're saying is, Evan, is that if not for a couple of breaks, they were certainly competitive.
Yes, and they
right.
were.
No, no question.
I don't know if they win the game,
you know,
but they
that
were,
does say yeah. something for a team that's got 27 of its 53 players new to the roster and a brand new coaching staff. I really believed that going into the game last week that it would be week two and the Chicago game, again, it's a middleweight now against a middleweight. This is a game where you will see the Giants' teachers on the coaching staff now get the film and say, okay, now we know what we have. Remember, there were no preseason games.
Right.
So now they know what they have. At least they have a sampling. And it's up to them now to teach. This is what Joe Judge brought them in to do, to teach from the mistakes. And we all know you learn more from losses in sports than you do from wins. Let's see what they do now against a comparable opponent in week number two. I would be very disappointed if the Giants don't come out looking a lot better in Chicago.
What'd you think overall? Obviously, Barkley had a miserable game. I mean, they were keying on him. There's no doubt about it, and they just shut him down. You know, the offensive line had three new starters. They didn't play it all together in a preseason game, any preseason games. What was your thoughts on the line, and how long do you think it'll take for these guys to get some, you know, some cohesion going?
You know, Joe, your guess is as good as mine as to when that chemistry will develop, because it's just 3/5 of the line have been replaced, and Nick Gates was snapping a ball at center for the first time in his life in a real game. I mean, talk about climbing uphill to do that against the Haywood and the Steelers.
Right, right.
You know, that's it was like Custer and his last stand. That's a really, really rough deal. How long is it going to take to get square? My goodness, I don't know. I mean, I look at the defenses they're going to play, and, you know, Chicago's got a solid front. San Francisco's got a terrific defensive line. Rams, we know about Donald. And then Dallas, you know, that's a team that's got a lot of speed, and they're probably going to blitz a lot. So the Giants open their schedule with five teams who are going to significantly challenge their offensive line. So I'll be honest, I think it's going to be really rough going here. They have to get good enough that they can at least try to do some of the things they want to do and see if they can catch some breaks and make things turn in their favor. To suggest that they're going to be smooth operators, I mean, even the Redskins. Redskins have one of the best front fours in football.
Right,
and they're going
to
face them in week number six. It's the timing of these games with a rebuilt offensive line, no matter how good you think it may be down the road, does not serve the Giants very well.
Now, that leads to Saquon. And it's not a surprise that Tiki Barber, who's maybe the best running back in the history of the franchise, when he says something about
not
the
just
current...
maybe, he is.
Right.
No,
right.
You're right.
No, you're right. He is.
You are.
Right.
You are right.
Is.
Hey, borderline Hall of Famer, right. Depending upon who you talk to.
Right. You're right. You're right.
All due respect, by the way, because I got to give him his pop, Frank Gifford. I have to throw him in there.
Frank would be right there.
Yeah.
Frank would be right there. And Rodney Hampton's probably not far
behind. Rodney Hampton was pretty good. Joe Morris was pretty good, too.
Sure. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry, Evan.
What did you think? And Saquon has responded to what I thought was a very fair criticism of Saquon Barkley's issue right now, which is mostly in blocking and pass protection.
Well, I think a couple of things. First of all, no question, Tiki understands what Barkley's going through, because when Tiki first came into the league and he was a third down back, he had some troubles in pass protection. He had some troubles holding on to the ball. And after some years in the league and getting some experience, he improved on all of the things that he had to become, you know, a guy who deserves consideration for Canton. So here's Barkley, and now he's just starting out his third year. He still has stuff to improve on and stuff to learn. I don't think it's unfair to criticize some of the things that he has to get better on. Barkley himself says he's his own worst critic. But, fellas, I do want to give you a couple of facts, okay, because you know I study the tape every week. Saquon Barkley, as a rookie, was responsible for two sacks, okay? One in two different games. Last season, he was responsible for 3.5 sacks, and 2.5 of those came in one game against the Jets, and I know you guys remember that game very well.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
So that was... So
they also shut him down in that game pretty good, too.
No question. 13 carries for one yard.
Right, right.
It was dominant beyond belief for the capital D. In fact, this game reminded me of that game, quite frankly. And now this year... One game, one sack. So that's a combined total of 6.5 sacks, if my math is right, and it was done over the course of 5 different games. Now, here's what I think is very interesting, because as you guys know, again, I break down the film, and I look at each sack, and I discuss, I jot down the plays and how it happened. So what we have here in the game the other night, 6-man pressure package, he whiffed on a B-gap zone blitz. You know what? He's probably not the first running back to do that. We go back to last year in the Jets game. 5-man blitz, Adams runs around him. It wasn't because Barkley didn't try to get him. He just couldn't get him. He wasn't quick enough for a sack and a forced fumble. 7-man pressure package, Adams bull rushes him for the forced fumble. You remember he grabbed the ball out of Jones and ran for a touchdown. Half a sack charged on a 4-man rush, Burgess did a bull rush and a stunt out of what was a zone blitz, but only became a 4-man rush. Burgess, I gave credit, half a sack I charged to Barkley. Now, I don't see
Can
that.
Can I say
as
something,
being...
Paul? I got to say this. Both of whom, by the way, are gone, by the way, from the Jets. Can I just say that? I have to say
that. That is true. That is true. But I guess what I'm saying, guys, is I'm not seeing the fact that he doesn't have the grit or the willingness to do it. He gave up a sack against Dallas last year. His other sack that he allowed was on a 5-man rush. Jones came inside, and he whiffed. Okay, that was a whiff. So that's one whiff. Now we go back to his rookie season, and he gave up 2 sacks as a rookie. Blackson, on a 6-man pressure package, he missed a cut block, okay, against Houston. And then against Philadelphia, Brandom on a bull rush, zone blitz, 4-man pressure, and he just got overpowered.
But can I ask you this, though, about that? Because, and we always hear this on the defensive side, what about the examples where it didn't result in a sack, where there was pressure and ball was either thrown away or God knows what happened on that play? Because I'm sure there are other examples of it besides the sacks that he gave up.
Well, You know, here's the thing, Evan. I can't go back and provide evidence to you for those.
Oh no,
because
I only
jot down evidence, my notes, my record keeping. I'm one person. That's all I am. I'm just one person,
and I keep
detailed notes on as many of these things as I can. You should see the charts I have all over my office.
Believe me, Paul.
What I've just quoted to you is probably more specifics on Barkley's pass protection than any other media person is going to be able to give you. But I can give that to you because I have that as evidence. I can't talk about pressures he gave up because I don't have evidence.
Right. I guess overall in watching him, and you know this too, Paul, because we've talked about this, he is facing pressure from fans and media that's enormous because of where he was picked in the draft. I mean, that's a part of the game here. That
no question.
He is going to be held to this. He almost has to be a Hall of Famer. Let's be honest.
Yeah,
like,
pretty
if
much.
He's
well,
not,
sure.
Yeah.
Well, the GM said he's going to get fitted for a gold jacket.
Well,
what more do you want?
There you go. But
I mean, you're right. And here's the thing, though. You know, what I'm saying is, I think the criticism is fair because certainly what I'm saying is there's evidence that he has missed on some pass pro. There's
right.
no question. The evidence is there. The eye test is there. And I've just cited for you that there is evidence that he has given up sacks.
Sure, sure.
I guess what I am saying is I think that he is still a young and developing player who is just starting his third NFL season, who, by the way, last year played a little bit more than half a season on a high ankle sprain. And let me tell you something. If you think pass protection for a running back is hard in the NFL, try doing it when you're coming off a high ankle sprain.
I get it.
That's not pretty.
By the way, Paul, can I tell you, Paul, whatever they're paying you is not enough. I mean, for you to sit there and break down every sack that he has given up in his career, and you detailed the defense and all of that, and that's just unbelievable. I mean, whatever, I got to give you credit for that.
Part of your
I hate to
bust your chops, Paul, but I got to tell you, that is impressive stuff.
Well, I appreciate that, but it's what I do.
No, I get it.
You know, I don't spend 24/7, on this for nothing. I mean, I appreciate you guys because you give me the chance every week to talk about stuff like this. I'll be honest, I don't have enough of a forum to be able to share this information. A lot of it just sits here and collects dust until you guys call me and ask me about it.
Well, we appreciate it. What are your expectations? Now, you mentioned
he said the Giants will win. He picked the Giants to win this week.
Yeah, I do. I watched, but look, and no offense, Joe. But last Sunday, I had the Philadelphia Washington game on one screen.
What are you offended me? You wanted to watch a real football game. Two professional teams. I get it, Paul.
Okay. And the other screen had Detroit Chicago. Because as you know, what I do when I have the opportunity to watch, I will always watch the team the Giants are going to play the following week. I was not impressed with the Bears. In fact, the Lions did everything they could to give the game away.
Of course they did. They're the Lions.
They're brutal.
Yes.
And in fact, I believe in the last 3 years, they've given away more fourth quarter leads to defeat than any other team in the league.
How about the running back dropping the ball in the end zone and would have won the game?
Unbelievable. You know? So anyway, what I'm saying is, the matchup favors the Giants this week. It really does. I like the way they match up. And I think that with what happened last week, it's probably, look, you never want to say it's good, but I do think that tape will be a good learning experience for a lot of these guys. And if I'm right to have as much faith in this teaching coaching staff that I think I have, I really do expect the Giants to go out to Chicago and take care of business.
What is the injury? Because it seems like the Giants are mostly
healthy.
I mean, Golden Tate is banged up, but give me overall the status injury-wise of this football team.
They're actually in very good shape. Yeah. Golden Tate is still limited. He was out there earlier during the media portion just going through the warm-ups and stuff, but they are officially listing him as limited participation with that sore hammy now that's been nagging him for a couple of weeks. I told you, I didn't expect him to play against the Steelers. I think I'm much more optimistic for him this weekend, but I think I'll need to see him practice tomorrow before I really, really consider him a possibility for the game. Nonetheless, I do think that even without him, they've got enough to take care of business here. And I do think the motivation, you know, with Saquon Barkley, you remember, you know, you've seen him have these occasional bad games, and the Jets game was one of them. He usually gets very fired up by these things.
Oh, yeah.
And last week, by the way, did you see Grandpa Adrian Peterson running against the Bears?
Yes. 90 yards, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and this is a guy who, you know, just got out of the rocking chair after he'd been cut by Washington, was there for a very short time. And to be frank with you, Detroit should have kept going to the run more. They were gashing him like Swiss cheese. Yeah. And they decided to get away from it, and they just threw away that game. It was a bad job by the Lions.
Well, that's why they're the Lions.
Yeah, I was going to say. Exactly.
I mean, you know what I mean? Paul, come on. When they won the last playoff game they won, I think Bobby Lane was the quarterback. No, it's not
you
that
know,
far.
You know, it's funny. It's close, though. I went out there for a Giants road trip, I guess it was a couple of years ago, and we're at Ford Field, and I'm getting ready to do the pregame show, and I'm looking out across, and they got banners hanging from the top of Ford Field, right? And I'm thinking to myself, and I'm looking, and I think the most recent one is like 1934.
Well, I think they won. I think they won the NFL championship with Bobby Lane in like 1957.
Oh, okay. Whatever it is now. The point is, I was just saying to myself, you know.
You weren't born yet, Paul. Come on.
But my point was, I guess I appreciate every championship should be honored, and every championship should really be valued. But if my last one was that long ago, I don't know that I'd want a big banner hanging from the ceiling to remind everybody that there's been so many futile years since.
You set Joe up right now.
You know, you set me up, Paul, for that, right? Paul, you set me up here?
Sorry,
I mean, I give you all this.
I didn't do that.
I didn't do that to you.
That was not meant for you.
You realize it's been 52 years, Paul. You know that.
But that was not meant for you.
But when I see that Super Bowl III, I want to vomit. You know, like
yeah. But you know what?
Like my team's had one day.
They don't have like an oversized banner hanging from the top of the stadium.
No, they don't.
Well, it's not even their stadium.
I mean, it's not really even their stadium. So what's this?
Well, it is half. They paid for half of it.
My, you know what? Half.
Paul, we got to run. You're the best.
I love you, Paul. You know it's nothing but love, Paul.
Oh, absolutely, fellas.
Keep up
the
tremendous. You're doing a tremendous. I'm telling you, whatever they're paying you, they should pay you more. There's no doubt.
You know, make sure you got this air check and put it on Mark's desk in the morning, okay?
Forget Mark's desk. Give it to Mara. What, are you kidding me?
Have a great day, fellas.
All right. Thank you, Paul.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.